me turn on my notes so we can get positioned here. Praise you, Jesus. Are you ready for the word? Turn with me to Mark chapter 2. Mark chapter 2 and verse number 1. Say hallelujah when you're there. It says in verse 1, and again he entered into Capernaum, talking about Jesus, after some days, and it was noised that he was in the house. And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door, and he preached the word unto them. Everywhere Jesus went, he preached the word. Amen? And then gave them a taste of the kingdom. And they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. In other words, they tore a hole in this guy's roof. Now, it wasn't going to be shingles and plywood like we have today. We don't know what kind of roof it was, whether they pulled up the tiles or whatever they did. They tore a hole in this guy's roof. That's being serious about going after God. And it says, and when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. Now we know the result of this story is Jesus healed the young man. What we started talking about last Sunday night is that he saw their faith. He saw their faith. Now he saw their faith because he saw they had the willingness to carry their friend and tear a hole in the roof. That would represent faith. Amen. I remember the story years ago. Actually, I read the book, and it told about, I believe it was A.A. Allen. A woman had a baby that was born dead, or had died, and she drove for days across the nation with the dead baby to get to one of his meetings, if I remember the story right. And this baby had been dead for days. She brought the baby to A.A. Allen and said, you can bring my baby back to life. How many know it's faith? That's desperate faith. And the result is her baby was healed, if I have the story correct. And so what we've been talking about is faith has a look. The Bible says you'll know, Jesus said, you'll know my disciples by their fruit. Amen. You're going to know by them by what they produce. But you're going to know faith by what it looks like. And what we started talking about last week is I can tell when somebody's in faith by their words and by their expression. Amen. Faith is always looking up. Doubt or fear are always looking down. Fear always has a look of desperation or hopelessness. Faith has a look of determination. And how can I say it? Almost an aggression behind it. Faith attacks in a situation. Fear recoils. Whenever I've dealt with people that had a demonic operation in their lives, which has been many times, and they'll have, you know, be demon possessed or have, you know, very strong controlling spirits in their life, and you go to deal or minister into that person's life or even to address that spirit, you can have a little bitty wimpy looking person, but that'll have a demon on them. And when you go to address that spirit and you approach it, you will feel fear try to hit you the first thing. That's when I know somebody's got a demon. I'll feel fear try to hit me. Not that I give it way or even know what I'm afraid of, but you feel that demon's presence. And it's trying to lash out. And even though the person is somewhat wimpy, you may be tempted to recoil back just because of the hit of fear. Fear draws back. But faith attacks in a situation. I'm going to do a message here very soon on the faith that does not waver. And so just to give you somewhat of a introduction into it, I have found it in my life that if you want your faith to operate, you can't be half-hearted about acting in faith. You've got to get aggressive with it. If you're believing God's going to move in your life with healing power, deliverance power, then you're going to get enough faith in operation that you attack the situation. Because faith is not up and down. It does not waver. That man that wavers, don't let him think he'll receive anything of the Lord. The faith that is of God, the faith that God bursts out through you by the power of the Word, looks at a situation that says you can't, and faith says you can, and faith in action jumps into that situation. Amen. I mean, you've heard a story about, you know, the migraine headaches and slamming my head on the dash of the van. Amen. Why? Faith rose up and a determination to become aggressive and offensive. Offensively might. Not offensive, I'm trying to be rude. But offensive, in other words, I'm taking the aggressive role against the opposition. It has a look to it. When my back was blown out and I'd stomp around the room, jump up. For 3 days, I had the devil saying, you'll never walk again. You're going to have your back fused. They're going to put steel rods in your back. You'll probably be a cripple. All these, you know, you have back trouble for the rest of your life at the very least. And I'd jump up and I'd put on my faith look. Wasn't intentional. But my look when I jumped up was not like, oh, I hope this works. It was like, glory to God. So what happens when the faith look comes on you, your eyes may narrow down. And you look like Clint Eastwood. You be going to the devil, make my day. And you will become confrontational against opposing symptoms and situations. Because faith expects to overcome. Amen. And faith has a look. Last week we went to several passages where it says Jesus saw their faith. Amen. Where the disciples saw the faith of the man. And what did they see? Were they seeing in the realm of the Spirit? And they saw, you know, inside of his heart, and they saw faith resident. No, they saw the countenance of the man. Now, chances are they may have been discerning, especially Jesus was discerning, and could see the operation of faith on their life, but faith has its own look. And again, when people come up in the prayer line, and they're saying, will you pray for me? I can tell when they're in faith or not. Amen. And I pray differently. If somebody comes up to the prayer line and says, I'm believing for this, and I see their eyes look like this, and I see them going, glory to God, I believe God says this, the Word says this, and I have this, and I'll grab their hands. I agree with what they're believing for. I declare this and agree in Jesus' name, and two or more touch it, we have it in Jesus' name. Or I'll lay hands with them in an aggressive, you know, in agreement type form. But if somebody comes up and they maybe really don't know God's going to heal them, or they're not experienced with faith, and they'll come up and they'll look like the deer in the headlights, like, well, Pastor Rebecca told me to come up, and here I am, or my friend said I need to come up, and here I am, and they're almost afraid to be up here, you know, because of the holiness of the altar area of the church anyway. And if you understand what I'm saying. So people come up very timid, and they're like, well, you can try. Well, then when I pray, I'm going to probably take authority over fear to begin with. I'll say, I bind fear in Jesus' name, and I speak this healing or whatever released into their life. What am I doing? I'm moving out against the fear to give faith a place to be established. Because without faith being in operation, the power of God doesn't flow. And you can tell very quickly, usually, if somebody's in faith by how they look and what they say. If the word's coming out of their mouth when you say, I'm going to pray for you, they say, well, I hope it works. You can know they're not in faith. Amen. Faith, when it comes up, and I'm going to try to state this in a way nobody's offended, but the number of people that come up genuinely in faith is a minority even in this church. Because so many people have seen God heal, experienced God healing, but they still come up with an I hope so mentality. But when one comes up in faith, they know when they get up here they're going to get it. Amen. They're expecting a transfer of God. And I'm telling you what, when faith meets faith, an explosion takes place. Amen. But faith takes time to develop. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. When Clint Eastwood said, "Make my day," he said that because he knew he was going to be able to outshoot and outdraw the guy anyway. Amen. Why, he had practiced. He had practiced with that gun. He knew he was going to be able to win. Are you following me? Practice, practice, practice produces confidence in your activity. Lack of exercising faith, lack of being in the Word of God, developing your faith, produces unsureness in whether faith is going to produce. Now, come up in both situations. But when you come up with faith, you can know there's going to be a heavenly connection made. Amen. So faith has its own look. Turn to Romans chapter 4. To turn to chapter 1 to begin with. Romans chapter 1 and verse 8, Paul says, "First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world." Your faith is spoken of. Faith doesn't just have a look. It's got a reputation. Amen. If you learn to operate in faith, you will develop a reputation. There are people that are great singers, and nobody knows them. There are people that are great athletes that never made the pros. Nobody knows their name. Amen. But you become adept in living by faith, and you will become known throughout the area. Amen. Faith has a look, and faith has a reputation. But it takes time to get both. Amen. And then Romans chapter 4. And I want to look at this countenance of faith. Let's go to verse number 13. It says, "For the promise that he, Abraham, should be heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith." How many know God promised Abraham to be heir of the world? He says, "For if they which are of the law be heirs, faith is made void, and the promise made of none effect. Because the law worketh wrath, for where no law is, there is no transgression. Therefore it is of faith that it might be by grace to thee, and the promise might be sure to all the seed. Not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all." Now what Paul is saying here is the promise to Abraham that he would be heir was through Abraham believing God versus what Abraham did for God. Are you following me? It was through God being able to recognize faith in Abraham's life in operation versus God recognizing what Abraham did for God. He goes on and he says, in verse number 17, "As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were." God who quickens the dead and calls those things which be not as though they were. Now we see faith has a voice pattern. Faith has its own language. The language of faith calls dead situations alive. Today we had an example of this. We had a group of individuals come into the shop right after first service, and I let them in. And they were from China. We had four Chinese people come in here that are here for a conference in Louisville and drove to this area to shop. I redirect them to Hamburg. And they came in and they could not speak English. One or two of them could speak a few words. They were trying to say, do you have, and I went, restroom? They're going, do you have, and I said, bathroom? Yes, 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 yes. They went, that was where they were heading, amen. So they came back and they were trying to communicate to me. They wanted to find a place to shop. It took some time to figure that out. Then they wanted to order something to drink. We settled on tea. They wanted tea. What kind of tea do you have? I had to get it out and show it to them. Point to the one you want. We virtually had no language in common. Amen. Very sweet group of people, though. And so it was evident that if you can't speak the same language, there will be communication breakdowns between you. Amen. And so it was just fun trying to communicate. So they end up buying two things of Lipton tea. Amen. And then I got on my iPad, pointed to Hamburg. They took a picture of the address to put it under GPS so they could get there, because there was no way I could give them directions to get there. Amen. I'm going to follow I-65 and they're going, or I-64. They're going, huh? They just took the snapshot. Faith has its own language. And people aren't going to understand when you speak in faith that don't know that language. Amen. Your family's not going to understand. Your friends aren't going to understand. People that you've known for years will not understand the change in your life when you start speaking in faith. Amen. But if you don't learn to speak in faith, you won't see the results of faith. I had a roommate in college. He was a co-op student, and so we roomed every other semester together, every other quarter together. He'd go off and co-op a quarter, and he'd come back, we'd room together. We planned it that way. And we roomed together for like 3 years. And he was from Germany. He was born in Germany. But he'd been in America since he was 14. So at the time, we are 18, 19, 20 years old. And he spoke very good English. And so I asked him, I said, how is it you speak such good English? How did you transition from speaking German to speaking English like you do? Now, he spoke it with a thick German, you know, accent. But it was still grammatically, you know, grammatically correct and well-pronounced. You could understand what he was saying. And he said, of course, he had learned English in Germany in school. But he said, the key to learning to speak in English or any language, he says, when you transition into thinking in that language. See, when you think in English. When you create mental pictures or mental thoughts, it is always in English. But he said, the key to becoming adept at speaking in another language is to start thinking in that language. So over time, as he learned English, he would replace German words in his thinking with English words. And just the thought processes alone rehearsed the English language in his mind, so when he spoke, it came out of how he thought. It's a pretty good example, isn't it? If you want to speak the words of faith, which are required to have the look of faith, to gain the reputation of faith, it begins with learning the language of faith. And learning the language of faith comes out of spending time on the Word of God to produce the mental, how can I say, thought processes of faith. When you develop the thought process of faith, words like I can't are removed out of your language. Because the Bible says with God, you can do everything. As you start to meditate the Word of God regarding what God has said and faith has developed, thought processes regarding lack are removed out of your thinking. Why would I entertain lack? Why would I entertain failure when the Word of God says He always calls me to triumph and to prosper? So what happens is by spending time in the Word, spending time meditating what God has said, it starts to replace your worldly thought language with a Holy Ghost thought language. and you start to think in the language of faith. All of a sudden, as you meditate time in the Word, now all of a sudden your thought processes that dictate, hey, it's cold and flu season, you transition into, He delivers me from all sickness and disease. Thought processes. And all of a sudden the thought that you're going to be sick any day, you could fall down, you know, you could fall out with the flu, or, you know, planning your sick days or whatever you could do, it doesn't even enter into your thinking. Why? Because it's not the language you think in anymore. I used to think in failure language. When I was, you know, younger, before I got saved and got my mind renewed, I always thought I was going to mess up or fail, or before it was done, fall short. Or even when I was saved, I thought, I don't know if I'll make it or not. I don't know if I'll survive Christianity or not. I don't know if I can hold on to this walk or not. You know, everybody told me that I was, you know, I would never be able to stay saved. You know, people in the world said, you're not going to be able to hang on. I know you won't do it. Amen, you're a drunk. You're going to drink again. And I'm going like, maybe that's true. Until enough time meditating Word and experiencing faith in operation, I'll never go back to drinking. And I am not a failure anymore. What would change that I'm not a failure anymore? One is I'm in covenant with a God that cannot fail. And two, I've learned a new language. I've learned the language of the God that quickens the dead and calls those things that be not as though they were. So now I've learned that if there's an area, there's limitation in my life, all I need to do is learn some new phrases in God's faith language. You know, whenever people travel to another nation, or they're going to an area that don't speak their language, they always learn new phrases. They teach you in the little, you know, how to speak French or how to speak German books. They'll have phrases to learn. Like, where is the bathroom? Amen. Do you take credit cards? That was funny. This little fellow from China says, you know, do you take credit cards? At least that's what he was trying to indicate. And I said, yes. So he gives me a MasterCard for a dollar cup of tea. Amen. Couldn't read the sign that says $3 minimum, so I just let it go. Are you following me? Just run it. Praise God. Welcome to America. But we speak in phrases like, you know, check, please. Can I find the bathroom? You know, where's this road? Little phrases. And the more phrases you can learn, the more you can communicate in that language. And travel or manipulate through that system or that area that you're going to. In the Marshall Islands, now many of them speak English, but the majority speak Marshallese. So when I go to the Marshall Islands, you learn just words to say. Yukwe means hello and goodbye. Amen. Komultada, good friend. And you'd learn certain statements to say, more in honoring of their culture than really desire to know the language. But those few words let you interact with those people and with that system. Quit. KWIT was octopus. Still remember that one. Amen. If you want to order octopus. Patty didn't need to quit while we were over there. I had everything they had. So, if we're going to be those that advance in the language of faith, we've got to be willing to learn new phrases. Amen. Now, if you learn enough new phrases, then what will happen is the phrases will start to interconnect and you can start to learn the language. Amen. You can learn the grammar. You can learn how, you know, phrases connect to make sentences or statements, or, you know, spell out descriptions. In the Word of God, we learn new promises. And as you learn new promises and you claim new promises, it expands your language of faith. See, I used to, just to explain this, you know, when I was first saved, I learned the language of faith regarding I'm saved. We talked about it all the time. I'm saved. I'm saved by the cross, saved by the blood, saved by grace, saved by mercy. Amen. And we'd go to all the, I don't know how many times I stood through the Word looking for things to deal with salvation. Because I was anxious to make sure my faith was anchored in my salvation. Because that devil's screaming, you'll never make it. Amen. And then to have a bad thought the next week or say the wrong thing to my wife. And, oh, Jesus, please don't take your Holy Spirit from me. And, you know, walk in this terror of missing out with God. So I'd stay on the verses or the promises that dealt with you're saved. Romans chapter 10, all that call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Oh, praise you, Jesus. Confess with your mouth and believe with your heart, right? And as I did, I learned the phraseology of salvation. In other words, the promises of God dealing with salvation started to displace and replace the areas of fear regarding staying saved in my mind. So it all of a sudden, now I knew that area of the promise, and I spoke the language of faith regarding salvation. Didn't know anything else, but I knew I was saved. And then we learned about healing. Oh, praise God for healing. Apostle Callan starts teaching us about God's promise of healing, that everybody can be saved of everything, every time. And so what we'd meditate the verses on healing. What am I learning? A new phrase. It took time to meditate that into my life, but by His stripes, I was healed. And that started to displace in my thinking the thought I'm going to be sick. Or symptoms hit the thought that I had to stay sick. And through practicing, applying those verses. See, I don't care how many times you listen to the tape, how many times you hear the CD or the message in the recording from, you know, Rosetta Stone. This is, here's how you say this. Until you actually say that to somebody, you don't know if you're saying it right. Parlez-vous français? Didn't make it, did it? Sprechen Sie Deutsch? As much as you heard the tape doesn't mean it's still going to come up properly out of your mouth. Amen. I don't know what you're laughing about. But as you say the phrase to somebody that speaks that language and they speak it back to you properly and that keeps happening, you say parlez-vous français and they say how, does anybody speak French? Say it in French. Parlez-vous français? Was that close? It will adjust your speech from parlez-vous français to how she just pronounced it. Parlez-vous français. You know, you make the adjustment. Are you getting anything out of this? By using it and experiencing somebody responds. Amen? It would be very important to properly learn how to say where is the bathroom in whatever language of the country you're in. And you may jumping until you be jumping until you get it right. You're going, no karabaki? No. And finally, till you get it close, and they'll say this, you'll go, yes! And they'll point to it. And oh, what a relief it is. Well, in the same way, when you go to speak words of faith, you may not get it right quite right away. But as you keep speaking it, and you see results come back, or you see people that are of faith around you, speak it back to you, you're going to get it. And it's going to allow you to develop a new phrase of understanding and speaking the language of faith, the language of God, so that you can become adept in that promise. And they will learn about God wanted you to prosper. Amen. Or God wanted you to have peace or joy. God wants you to walk in love. We found out about these promises, and it opens up a new area of phraseology of faith we've got to learn. See, it's funny. I was speaking for a long time, by His stripes I was healed, and saying I'm broke in the same set of sentences. You know what I'm talking about? I'd say, I'm saved. Even before that, I'm saved, but I sure feel like I'm about to die. What I'm doing is I'm crossing over, like English and German, I'm crossing over faith and unbelief. I have mastery in one area of faith, but not in another area. So God's drawing us into a place that we develop knowledge of the entire language of faith. Amen. So you can then visit the kingdom of God and get around with that mishap. God wants us to live out of the kingdom, to abide in Him, and He abide in us. But you can't do it beyond your level of knowledge of the language. And God's language is that of faith. Amen. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Now, here's another important aspect of learning how to speak faith. Thank you, Jesus. Just hang around people that speak that language. You know, there are people in this nation that take French and they take get a master's degree in French, but until they go to France, they'll probably not fully perfect it. Something about getting around people that speak that language draws you to another level to speak in that tongue or that language. So if you want to learn Spanish, many times they'll send you to that country. You'll go get your learning. You'll learn the grammar and the alphabet and how to speak the words, how to piece them together. And then they'll send you to that country to speak it. And of course, then they mess up everything you learn because they're speaking everything in slang and their grammar's bad and it tends to mess up, how you thought you were supposed to speak it. But at least you're getting around people that actually speak the language. It works with faith too. You want to learn to speak in faith? Hang out with people of faith. Hang out with people that are in faith, that believe the Word of God. And they'll speak in a language that before may have been totally foreign to you, but all of a sudden now you understand it. Amen. When they drive in on some broken down car and they say, "I'm rich." You look at them like, no, the word is broke. Not rich, broke. You're not rich, you're broke. But then you learn, no, they're speaking in faith because they've got a word inside of them that promises they've got something above what you can see now in the seen realm, and they're calling that thing which appears dead, they're calling it alive. And you recognize, oh, they're speaking that language. And you'll learn to speak it. And the more you hang around faith people, the more you will start to speak in faith. I don't speak any Spanish. I don't speak any, I probably can count to five. Amen. I think I can count to five in Spanish. And I can say no in Spanish. And yes, see, amen. That's about my limit of Spanish. I can speak zero French. I can say oui. Oui, monsieur, because I saw it in the movies. Amen. Or watch Pepe Le Pew cartoons or something. I speak no French. I can count to 20 or so in German because my mother taught me some German. That's it. Amen. But even not knowing any French, any Spanish, or any German, if I was to go and stay in that country very long, I would start to pick up on the language. Just out of the need to communicate and to function, you'd start learning the language. It would place a demand on your life to learn the language. You want to eat? Amen. You want to find your way somewhere? Or you want to go to the bathroom? You better learn to say something. And every time I've gone to a place that speaks a foreign language, I've always picked up some of the language. The only place I wasn't able to pick up any of the language, and please none of my Ghana friends get upset at that, but I couldn't understand Ghana for anything. They have many dialects they spoke. Each area had their own tongue. I couldn't pick up on it. And it took me a while to realize, why am I having so much difficulty to understand this language? And it's because every word they speak has 27 syllables. We say your name's Tom. Their name is Azabantabi Shomabakiala. We say, I'd like a Coke. They go, no bakia na batid baba unyachiyong ngabiyachya. I couldn't understand it, amen. I'd say, now say that word again. I say, how do you say thank you? No bakanyan mopanyabansnya. Okay, I give up. But if I spent enough time in there, I would be able to find the bathroom. If you want to learn how to speak in faith, get around faith people and quit hanging out with unbelievers. Well, they're my friends. Well, they're going to teach you to speak the wrong language. And if you're going to Germany, your speaking French isn't going to help you a whole lot. At least it is a Romance language, or if it is a Latin-based language. If you're going to China, hang it up. Your French are going to do a thing for you. Did you ever wonder what your language was when you spoke in tongues? I've wondered. All I know is when I speak in tongues and I get around, when I'm around Japanese people and they start speaking, I feel like going into tongues. I don't know what it is. I wonder if I don't have an Oriental type based prayer language. I mean, you feel like joining a conversation, you'll be in the elevator. And I'll go, yes, Shabbat Karabasi. Get around people that speak faith. If I wanted to learn German, I would find Germans to hang out with. If I want to learn Spanish, you know, I'd visit every Mexican restaurant in town and hang out. Give me the buffet. I'm going to eat all day. Now talk to me. Talk to me. You want to learn something? And if I want to learn faith, I'm going to get around faith people. You know, when I had the opportunity, when I'm first learning faith and I'm under Pastor Callahan, and I had the opportunity to hang around he and Pastor Philip and Pastor Jim and Pastor Sherry, those who were learning faith and speaking faith, it was like, that's who I want to be with. Because I want to know that language. I want to know how to function in that kingdom, in the kingdom of God. If you can't speak in faith, you cannot maneuver around in the kingdom of God. Now again, if you want to learn a language, say you go to France, you want to learn French, and they say, you say a word and they say, no, it's like this. Amen? You got to be correctable. Don't go, no, I took the course on Rosetta Stone and I think it's this. It's ooey, not we, it's ooey. Take the correction when they tell you how to say it. Are you following me? And when you get around people of faith and they say, don't say that, quit getting offended. Quit getting offended. Say, thank you for the assistance. It was so precious to me, so special. In Ghana, they have their own handshake. I'd call it a secret, but everybody does it. And it's their local handshake. I showed it to Robert a little bit. Come here, Robert, help me with this. And I have not taken time to teach him as if I really got a hold of it. Pastor Bob could do it right off. Pastor Debbie could do it right off. I couldn't do it. For one thing, I've never been able to snap. That's as loud as it gets. Turn me up real loud. I'm just teasing. Amen. But what they do is they would shake, then they go to this, and then they start to slide their hands off. And when they got to right there, they'd snap each other's fingers. Snap my finger. Like that. You get to the end, and you slide rear, so you do very softly, and when you get in, you snap. And what that meant is that was a very good friend. And not only that, it was a handshake of honor, because you never do it to somebody that's above you unless they do it first, unless they initiate it. In other words, if you're gonna shake hands with a dignitary, you never do the snap. Unless he does the slide and you know he's gonna snap, and then you go with it. So everywhere I went, everybody was trying to do the snap, and I couldn't get it down. I couldn't get it. Pastor Debbie, she's pow, 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 you know. It got to be they were making fun of me. They were making fun of me. Everybody was. Like, that's your snap? I'll snap you upside the head. And Pastor Sunu's father, precious man of God, a pastor for 40 years, was determined to teach me how to do it. Because the first time we shook and I started doing, he goes, no. He was very nice about it. He said, like this, he'd take my hand, we'd do it again. He'd go, no. I don't know how many times we went through that. We may do it 15 times in a row just trying to get it. And finally he said, you're close. Trying to learn just to do a snap. The language was hopeless. Just the snap was out distancing me. But the point is he was willing to stay with it and try to teach me until I got it. There are those around you that are willing to stay with it and teach you faith if you're willing to learn and receive it. But as soon as you say, I know. I don't need you to tell me how to speak. You're on your own. Amen. And we've all felt that way. You know, you come to church, you go, man, I'm so tired. And somebody says, no, you're strong. You have energy. I know. Well, they're not going to teach you the language much further. Or you come and you say, I'm just so sick of this. I could just die. No, you're not sick, you can live. Okay, I can live. You are frustrating your language lessons. Hang out with people that speak faith and be willing to take it as a learning opportunity. And be willing to teach each other. Because you will not function in the Word of God beyond your ability to speak words of faith. Death and life, it says in the Word, are in the power of your tongue. And they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. You're going to eat the words of what you speak. It's important to learn to say the right things. Amen. You know, there's an old saying, you are what you eat. It's not true. Amen. I ate some beef soup earlier. I'm not beef soup. Although the nutrients of beef soup are now coursing through my veins and arteries and every cell of my being and make me fit and strong, right? You're not what you eat, you are what you speak. You are what you speak. So somebody comes in there and they're speaking, you know, I'm the Reich, fear, fim, and they're speaking German. I know he's German. Amen. They come and speaking, you know, unos, dos, tres. I know they're Spanish based. If they come and speak counting in French, as if I could even say one in French, I wouldn't know if I knew any of the language. I knew they were French. And if they come in speaking faith, I recognize that very quickly. Faith has its own accent. You know, there are people come in and we get people all the time that speak different languages. Having the coffee shop. So they'll come in and want to order something and everybody's bilingual. You know what you call somebody that speaks three languages or more? They're multilingual. You know what you call somebody that speaks two languages? Bilingual. You know what you call somebody that speaks one language? American. Amen. From other countries, everybody comes and they speak English plus their language. A lot of times they have their conversation in their own language, and it's always fun to try to guess where they're from. We've had Russian people today, Chinese people. They're speaking Chinese. I don't know a word they're saying. We get French. We get German. We get every all kinds of nationalities. Travel down the interstate, stop here at the mall, and end up at our coffee shop. And most of the languages, I couldn't tell you what they're speaking. Now, some of it has an accent that you might recognize from the TV show. You know, if they're speaking heavy, you know, heavy accent on Russia. Natasha! You know, and they're rolling their R's. Amen. Trying to have a good R word to use. I'm for Russia. Well, you can pick that up, you know. But when they're speaking, you know, say Polish or German or other languages, I don't know which is which. Because I have no exposure to those languages to speak of. But if they're speaking faith, I'll know it. And the few people we ever have come in here that actually speak faith, you'll pick up on it right away. Billie Jean said she drove to McDonald's Day, and as the guy opened the window, she knew he was Holy Ghost. Picked up just on by the presence of God on his life. Well, they start speaking faith, you'll pick up on it. And you know what? Something happens. It's amazing when you get John Paul speaks Tamil. John Paul's from India, and their language for his area, because India has so many dialects, his, where he is from, is Madras, is Tamil. Is it Shano is the area he's from, the territory? And Mother Dolores was dating a guy from India. And it turns out, in talking to him, she found that he was from Shano, and he speaks Tamil. So, last November, end of November, I was with John Paul, and I said, my daughter's been dating a guy that is from India, and he's from Shano, and that's where he was from, and he says he speaks Tamil. He got all excited. He said, can I get his phone number? He called me yesterday and said, is your daughter still seeing that guy? I said, I don't know. I've never met him. But he wanted to get Lori's phone number to get this young man's phone number and call him and speak in Tamil. So he never met, but he was excited about speaking to him just so he can speak to him in his home language, because he's met somebody over here that speaks the same dialect. You know, you get two German people, they run into each other probably in the mall, and they're going to start talking in German and excited about it. What part of Germany are you from? I'm from this. Oh, what part of Europe? I'm from this. Oh, yes, yes, yes. Homeland, you know, fatherland, whatever. But you get two people that speak faith, they will hit it off and have a conversation. And they're going, what church do you go to? When did you get filled with the Holy Ghost? Amen. What's your testimony? And you will have a connection made, both speaking English, but speaking a different select dialect of English or whatever language that is of the accent of faith. And you will recognize it right off. You know, just because somebody says they're a Christian doesn't mean they speak faith. In fact, chances are if they say they're a Christian, they probably don't speak faith. In fact, if you start speaking faith, they're going to say, I don't understand. What are you talking about? And you're going to say, well, I'm of faith, and I call those things which be not as though they were. I serve the God that quickens the dead. They're going to say, I still don't understand. Could you explain and maybe teach us to me? That would be a rarity, wouldn't it? They usually go like, you're crazy. I'm out of here. Let me find somebody that's got a rational reasoning mind I can speak to. You're not looking for rational reasoning minds. You're looking for people who speak the faith language. Amen. And when you make that connection, there's even a heart-to-heart connection can be made. There is no, how can I say, higher form of conversation you can have with someone than in the faith language. And as one speaks it, it reinforces in the other person. It's genuineness, it's reality, and it's power. If nobody ever taught me, and I only saw it in the Word, that death and life are in the power of the tongue, and faith calls those things which be not as though they were, and nobody else ever said that to me, and I was the only one that saw it in the Word, it would cause me to question my revelation. I mean, if I was the only one that ever saw in the Word, by stripes I was healed, nobody else ever said it, I'd say, did I really get that from God? That's why it's so admirable and so impressive when people get a revelation like that and they stay with it clear through their ministry when nobody else is getting it yet. And they become the barrier breakers, like Kenneth Hagin was with faith. Amen? Kenneth Copeland, they'll get a revelation, and even though nobody else understands it, they are still speaking that same language, even though nobody's there to speak it to them. They speak it all the way through to the manifestation of their full ministry. It takes determination to speak a language nobody else speaks and to maintain, what would be the word, fluency in that language. And you had Kenneth Hagin speaking the language of faith way before anybody else. Earlier in his ministry, we had the great healing revival going on in America. And we had all these famous healing evangelists traveling around. Jack Coe, A.A. Allen, you know, Oral, I don't know if Oral Roberts in the bunch at that time, but Kenneth Hagin. And in a gathering they had, he said, "My ministry will outlast all of yours." And they basically said, "Who do you think you are?" And he says, "It will happen that way because your ministry is based on operating in the gifts, and mine is based on the word of faith." And he says, "That will sustain my ministry where the gifts will not sustain yours." And it turned out to be a true prophecy. He outlived, and his ministry outdistanced all of them. He was a barrier breaker in the language of faith, in the dialect of faith regarding the healing power of God. Others weren't speaking. So what did he have to do to practice that language? He had to speak to himself. I'm sure he had to listen to his own messages on reel-to-reel tape or however method they had. He had to encourage himself until other people started to learn the language, till Copeland and others came along speaking that same language, and they got it from him, and they'd reinforce his faith by what they spoke. Amen. So it's admirable to be a barrier breaker in a promise of God by faith, which I believe we're doing in here in the love message. I believe we're teaching faith for love versus just a mental essential. We're speaking, accessing love by faith, which is a phraseology or a dialect of faith that the church yet doesn't know of, by and large. And you're going to speak it and people will think you're crazy. But if we hold to it and speak it to ourselves, it'll reinforce it and we'll step into it. So if you want to reinforce your stand of faith, get around people that speak the dialect you're speaking of faith, and it will reinforce in you, you're speaking a valid language. Amen. I'm sure people that can speak Klingon get together and love to speak Klingon. Whoop-de-doo. As geeky as I am, I have no desire to speak Klingon. Amen. Why, it's fraudulent, it's fabricated. I want the real thing. And there's nothing more real than speaking words of faith. So hang out and be correctable by people that speak the language. Amen. Let's read a little bit further. Romans chapter 4. Verse 18. Let's read verse 17 again. As it is written, "I have made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead," makes alive the dead, "and calleth those things which be not as though they were." The language of faith is the only language that has the power to raise the dead. You know what's interesting? You can speak the language in any other known language, and it still works. I can speak the language of faith in English, French, Spanish, or German. It still works the same. Amen. Or Chinese. It's not the dialect you speak. It's the heavenly connection behind what you're speaking that produces it. It says, "Who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be." He says, "Who against hope believed in hope." I believe when people asked Abraham what his name was, he went, "My name is Abraham." Not Abraham. Abraham meaning the father of nations, right? I believe he spoke it out with authority and with confidence. When we went to Ghana, Pastor Sunu and his wife have never had children. And they want children. So we prayed for them to receive children. And the next day he changed his Facebook name to Sunu Edom Sr. So if I don't have children, might as well get the name down right. We didn't coach him on this one. He just got a hold of faith speaks. And so Abraham, against hope, against any natural hope that he would ever have children, declared in the language of God, "My name is Abraham, father of nations." The revelation of the language of faith will produce the look of faith, which will produce the reputation of faith. And I'll guarantee you, when you get a hold of what God says, of who God says you are and what God says you can do, it will change your countenance. I tell everybody that comes in here that wants to learn about our church, had the same conversation yesterday with an individual came in. I said, if you will come in here and you will sit and listen and apply what we teach you, in 6 months you won't recognize your life. Now, the question arises in not recognizing their life. Are all of a sudden are they millionaires? No, not in 6 months, probably. In 6 months, are they healed of every disease and they never get another symptom in their life? Probably not. It can happen, but usually it takes some time of applying your faith to overcome sickness and disease fully. Amen? Is it that they never have another down day in their life? Or, you know, less than thrilling day in their life? No, they're going to have some challenges in their days. But what is it that changes in 6 months? Their countenance and their language. They're starting to learn the language in 6 months. In 6 months, they're saying, I'm healed. In 6 months, they say, I prosper. In 6 months, they say, I'm a 100-volter. In 6 months, they say, I'm an overcomer. Versus before, they were speaking the language of fear, which was saying, I'm broke, I'm sick, I'm tired, and I'm going to die. And faith speaks the word with authority. That was what amazed them about Jesus. They said, he speaketh as one that has authority. Then after Jesus, you know, rose from the dead, and the disciples followed after, they said about them, these are just but fishermen. Where did they get such knowledge? And how is it, you know, they speak with such authority? They learned a language that carries authority. And they learned that they can carry that authority. They can do beyond what the world dictates they can do. Now, we mentioned this last week, and I just want to bring it out again. In fact, let me go to the verse. Let's see. 2 Corinthians chapter 13. We'll close with this. Even though I know you want to hear me speak more French. First Corinthians chapter 13 verse 5 says, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves, and know you not yourselves how that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobates. He says, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. And then he contrasts that with being a reprobate. I want to be in the faith versus a reprobate. Right? That which needs to be rejected or cast out. How do you examine yourself to be whether you be in the faith? Listen to what you're saying. Look at your countenance in the mirror, how you're approaching life. Amen. And see whether you're gaining a reputation. You move ahead in faith, you will see yourself in a different light. Before you learn faith, you may look in the mirror and you see a timid person that thinks they can't accomplish anything. You may look in the mirror and see a loser. You may see a failure. You may see somebody that is, you know, overcome by all the pressures of the world. But you get in faith, you look in the mirror and say, and we're not trying to pump up ourselves through, you know, hyped up self-promotion. But faith will arise and you stay in the Word and you're going to look in the mirror and say, I know you're a success. Now, I hear people that will get up every morning and speak to themselves in the mirror. I've never spoke to myself in the mirror. Other than when I walk by in the morning, I go, yeah, you look good. Have you heard that before? That women will look in the mirror and they'll find every blemish on their face. And they'll look and, oh, I hate my nose and I hate my eye. Oh, my chin is not perfect. And they'll pick themselves to pieces. And it can be some 10-plus-plus beautiful woman like my wife. And she'll pick herself apart. And the guy, he doesn't have a six-pack. He has a keg. Amen. Chin sagging, eyes drooping, hair falling out or whatever, and walk by the mirror and go, yeah. gender differences, right? Don't tell me men and women are the same. Amen. Where was I going with all of that? I don't speak to myself in the mirror. I don't give myself pep talks. Are you following me? Other than when I'm praying, I'll speak to myself in psalms and hymns and spiritual melodies, singing, making, you know, edifying or exalting. How can I say? Encouraging myself in the Lord. That's what I wanted to say. And that only comes, honestly, by taking time to get the Word in you so you can speak the true language of God. You can't fake it either. There are people that are very good at faking languages. Robin Williams. Did you ever see Robin Williams? He'll fake languages like he's from some other country. Can't speak a lick of that language, but he puts an accent on it like he's from Scotland, or one of Scotland speaks English. Like he's from, you know, Germany or something. He'll fake the language. But people who really speak it know that's not the language. It'd be like going to Mandela's funeral and somebody's doing sign language. You heard that one, right? Everybody heard that one? At Nelson Mandela's funeral, they hired a sign language interpreter. It was somebody that was schizophrenic, and he doesn't even know sign language. He's up for just making gestures. They hired this guy for a world event, and he can't speak any sign language. But he's making all these gestures, and the people spoke sign like, what is he doing? Didn't get a single word right. It wasn't any missed one or two. He didn't get any, didn't know any sign language. So he's making up his own signs as he goes. And the Secret Service and everybody else let him through. And wasn't he accused of attempted murder at one time as well? Something like that? And people are probably at home going like, wow, he does really some neat sign language. But people know sign language going like, what? Mm-mm. Amen? And so if you're going to learn faith, it's not because you try to fake the language. Say, well, I'm healed. By stripes, I'm healed. I mean, that may teach you to believe it. But unless you really take time to get the Word in you, it won't come out as a genuine faith language. You know what the difference is going to be? You may say the same words, but you don't have the look. You can't fake the look with the language. It's going to take the Word of God in you, which is going to take time in the Word. Did you get anything out of this tonight? Parlez-vous français. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Father, bless your people. We enjoy you. We enjoy your word. Teach us to speak the language of the kingdom, the language of faith, and cause a desire to hang out with one another and share in that language. We thank you. We give you praise. In Jesus' name, so be it. Amen. Hug some neck. Show the love of God. Be a blessing.